This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I have a returning guest, and I'm really excited to have him back on the show. We're talking no other than Copper Fox Metals. They trade on the TSX Venture, ticker symbol CUU. They also trade on the OTC markets, ticker symbol CPFXF. And with us today is the CEO of that company, Elmer Stewart. Elmer, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Everett.
You know, give my listeners a little bit about statement of who you guys are and what you do.
Copper Fox is we're a Canadian-based resource company. We're focused on the acquisition, exploration, and development of large polymetallic porphyry copper systems in North America. We focus on North America because of the geopolitical stability and the mining-friendly jurisdictions, as well as certain logistical issues as well. We've acquired a balanced portfolio of projects, and we believe that is fundamentally necessary for success. You need to have the ability and flexibility of going forward. The other thing is, too, is with a balanced portfolio of projects, you have an excellent chance of increasing your success ratio. Our strategy is very fundamentally simple. We don't want to become miners. We want to develop our assets to a point in time where we prepare them for sale to an intermediate and or senior producing mining company.
You know, I've been hearing a lot about copper prices. Where do you see copper prices in the future, and what does that mean to Copper Fox?
Over the past 5 years, there's been no new capital investment in the copper space. Currently, we're seeing a significant amount of supply disruptions. Head grades in mines are tending lower. We've been essentially, I should say, the industry has been essentially relying on old mines for a considerable period of time. And going forward, a lot of people now, the major banks, the international copper study groups are now predicting a significant supply shortage starting in 2018. Some will tell you it's already has started. Some are predicting 2019. Now, the lack of investment over the last 5 years definitely is going to create a period of time in the future where there is going to be a shortage of copper, because normally the way the system would work best, if you had new builds or new investment each year to make up the increase in demand going forward. With the world economy expected to grow at 3.6% next year, the electrification of the car industry, the green initiatives, infrastructure rebuilds, we see that's going to put a significant pressure on an already supply-demand equation that some are, like I said, are currently already projecting in a deficit position. Now, given the fact that it takes about 5 years to build a significant project, then we see that there is the real issue is going to be, you know, the 5 years necessary to bring it into production. That's assuming you don't not get a just delay because of environmental concerns or legal concerns or. And I don't think there'll be much change in the government, but that's the big issue where we see. So based on all that coming together, then we see no other place but can happen. But the price of copper has to go up, A, to justify new investments in mines, and they are usually fairly expensive and a long lead time. The other thing is, if the price doesn't go up, I believe copper shortage supplies for demand, because economies are expected to grow, and that's pretty much all over it, the emerging countries and the Western nations. I think that's also going to be a major factor in pushing the price of copper into the higher prices. Nobody's right now predicting what it's going to be, but I think right now the long-term predicted price for copper is about $3.30 a pound, where in April this year was like $3 a pound. That's a pretty significant jump in a few months. So what does this mean for Copper Fox? As you know, we are focused primarily in the copper space. We like the polymetallic nature of the projects because that definitely enhances the economics on each project. So with the demand, expected to increase over the next few years. That puts an added significance to our advanced stage Schaft Creek and Van Dyke projects. These both projects already have demonstrated value in that they have an net present value and internal rate of return. And clearly, using a higher copper price as an input parameter, that would definitely increase the value of those two projects. And at the same time, it would increase the net asset value of Copper Fox. So as copper, copper prices go up, it's going to help those two projects. And then the other thing is, too, is it's going to drive the investment into the exploration. And a lot of people like to value copper in the ground on a copper equivalent basis. And, for example, Copper Fox has 6 billion pounds of copper equivalent. So if it goes up 1 cent a pound, you could look at the implied value of about $60 million being added to the value of Copper Fox. Now, that is not a good equation to use, but it will give you an idea that even a cent a pound increase is going to impact companies who are in the copper space.
Good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Hey, can we still talk about the Van Dyke project in Miami, Arizona? Where are we at on the permit? Have we already got our permits, and can you bring us up to speed on that project?
Oh, no, we have not. We've started the permitting process earlier this year, and we're in discussions with a third party in the Miami area. We are trying to obtain access to surface rights, and obviously use of infrastructure to go forward at Van Dyke, because the area which we want to do the permitting in for the pilot test is probably about 1,500 feet long by about 500 feet wide. The information you need to give to the AD Arizona Department of Environmental Quality is very specific to that area. And that area is the prime area in the project where we want to test it, because that part of the deposit has not been tested previously. Van Dyke has had three already ISL tests completed on it, two by Occidental Minerals, one by Coseed Chemicals. And those were very positive tests. They were able to produce a significant amount of copper. Because that area is already disturbed, we need an area that is pristine, that has not been disturbed, and that's the reason why we're having these discussions with these people. Now, we hope those discussions come to a positive fruition. I can't tell you when we're going to get those things completed, but we're working on it, and clearly we have a timeline in which we will continue to talk. But at some point in time, if we are not making any significant progress, we will look to another area of the project to start to select an area for the permitting.
My guest today is Elmer B. Stewart. He is the CEO of Copper Fox Metals, Inc. They trade on the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture, ticker symbol CUU. They also trade on the OTC market here in the States, ticker symbol CPFXF. Last time they were on our show, the stock was around 8 cents. It's went up about 20%, which I think you guys are still grossly undervalued. Tell me about the agreement with the Tahltan control government and where you're at in the process with the, I think you own about 60-70% of CarMax.
Yes. Copper Fox has made a series of investments in CarMax mining, and our ownership today is about 60.4%. Because we've had a considerable amount of experience dealing with Tahltan First Nation at the Schaft Creek project from 2005 to 2013, when we relinquished the operatorship of Schaft Creek to Teck Resources by way of a changeover of operatorship, which was good for Copper Fox, because we got a serious mining company in as our partner, and they have the ability to move Schaft Creek forward. So, because we had that, and we had this investment in CarMax, we had a very unique relationship with the Tahltan First Nation, because our whole objective in mineral resources is built on sustainable of resources, the respect for the environment, and certainly a lot of respect for the cultures and traditions of the Tahltan First Nation. They're great people. So what we did was we helped CarMax with our knowledge, we introduced them to the management of CarMax, and we helped CarMax walk through the agreements and other parts that they didn't have the prior experience with, and we've just helped them along and sort of a cooperative effort and made the introduction to the Taltan, and now CarMax is up to speed. They've got their agreement in place, and we're more than prepared to help CarMax move their Eaglehead project forward.
You know, I want to switch gears here a little bit. I want to talk about some metrics and some valuations. It seems to me that you guys are completely undervalued. Can you give us a little bit about Copper Fox's assets compared to valuation?
Like I said earlier, we own various interests in four copper projects and a controlling equity interest in CarMax Mining. Over the last 6 years, we've implemented our strategy of staying in North America, being very cautious for projects. We've got a very experienced management team, very experienced group of consultants who we work and we use a very we classify them as our prime contractors. So over that period of time, we've been able to accumulate in the ground approximately 4 billion pounds of copper, 2.7 million ounces of gold, 165 million pounds of molybdenum, and about 25 million ounces of silver. And that is what Copper Fox owns on in its interest in the Van Dyke project, and its interest is 25% interest in the Shaft Creek project. So that gives you an idea that we have a significant amount of in-ground value. And the other thing is, too, which sets us apart from our peers, essentially, is that several years ago, the Ontario Securities Commission published a report where, or I should say a presentation, where they showed that if you started with 10,000 copper projects, 25 of those 10,000 would make the preliminary economic assessment stage, 6 would make the pre-feasibility stage, and 1 would make the feasibility stage. Now, Copper Fox already has one project, the Shaft Creek project, at the feasibility stage. We already have one project that's at the preliminary economic evaluation stage. So that clearly shows me, as part of the management team, that our team was able to do an excellent job of screening properties, because we've probably looked at about 75 to 80 properties since 2013, and know the pitfalls to select the right property to add value to the company. Now, when, for example, when we acquired the Van Dyke project, it had been dormant since the 1990s, didn't have any demonstrated value. We completed that acquisition in 2012. And by the end of 2015, that project had an after-tax discounted value of $149 million.
Wow.
And that was demonstrated by a independent National Instrument 43-101 technical report completed by a very good independent engineering firm of mining engineers, geologists, metallurgical engineers, and things like that. So that's I think, what sets us apart. We've got a lot of exploration experience. We've got a lot of mining experience. We've got a lot of construction experience. And I think companies with a good management team have the ability to pick good projects, not just any project.
You've been listening to Copper Fox Metals. That's the company we're highlighting on Stock Day on the show today. And with us is the CEO of the company, Elmer Stewart. Elmer, in closing, is there anything that we didn't get a chance to touch upon that you would like to get out there to the listeners?
I think that the listeners, I think if there's a message I can send to the listeners is that there's definitely a new commodity investment cycle coming. I see in the next couple of years, a return to a very strong copper price, much like we've seen after the financial crisis of 2008, where it dropped to $1.40 and rebounded to $4.40 a pound by April of 2011. I see that coming not because of a rebound. I see that becoming because of a shortage in copper. China has already come out and said they need 232,000 tons of more copper over and above what they normally would be consuming because of some infrastructure initiatives they're doing. With the pressure on the copper space from all the electrical vehicles and the new demands, I can tell you there is just not the projects in place right now to meet that demand. So we are coming into a new cycle. I see much higher copper prices going forward, and copper companies who are invested in the copper space with advanced projects are going to see the value of that reflected in either the net present value or the net asset value of their technical their projects where they have advanced technical reports like a feasibility study or a pre-feasibility study or a PEA, a preliminary economic assessment, and just in general the desire to for companies to participate in the copper space or individuals to participate, and that is inherently is should be reflected in the share values of companies in the copper space.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show today. You said it all. You said a lot. Supply doesn't outdo demand, so there's going to be a greater demand than there is supplies, and you're saying that copper is headed north. I want to appreciate you for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure. I wish you nothing but continued success, and hopefully you'll come back on in about 50 or 60 days.
Thank you, Everett. Have a great day.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or the station.